Welcome to Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com for the week of March 5th, 2005. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for streaming us or downloading us to your mobile pocket PC or MP3 player from around the world. And Dana's here with me again.
Yes, I'm here. I'm with two gentlemen today. Because Mitch is here. Thank you, Mitch, for coming in.
Well, thank you, Dana, for having me.
Thanks, Mitch,
Rob,
for coming back.
You. Well, you know, after the last time I was here and all the controversy that we stirred up when we made fun of the legend of podcasting, I felt it was only incumbent upon me to come here and offend people again.
Well, thank you for obliging people in their pursuit of, you know,
stuff to argue
stuff
about.
To fight about.
Oh, exactly. If you want to be entertained, exactly. Go over to his blog, redcliffblog.com.
Yes, and believe that is the correct URL. You apparently never visit it yourself.
No,
but
I left a comment.
You did.
I left a comment. And, you know, it's quite entertaining to see the abuse.
He also blogs at redherring.com, too. So he gets into trouble there, too.
Oh, and so many more places soon.
More places?
More.
Really?
You want to share one right now?
No, I can't.
Okay.
Top secret stuff.
You're going to South by Southwest shortly.
I'm going to go down to the IT show, and we're going to talk about extreme democracy.
You're speaking.
Yes, I am speaking. I'm speaking now.
And you will speak then as well.
I will speak in Texas. And based on my recent conversation with a group of Texans online, I may be getting into a fisticuffs match as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So you're going to so you're gonna have to develop a drawl? Is that what you're going to have to develop too in order to really function down there?
I'm from Louisiana, man.
Oh, okay.
I can do the drawl.
You can do the drawl.
And Mitch, you're going to PC Forum, Esther Dyson thing.
Then I'm going to PC Forum.
Invited.
And at PC Forum, we will be rolling out a product. My new company, Persuadio.
Persuadio?
Persuadio, the
I
name
like
is coming to the first person.
Did he actually announce that on our show? Actually,
yeah. Persuadio will be rolling out its first service at PC Forum.
You're not going to tell us what that service is? Is there a website at this point?
There is, but you would have to go find it.
Is it Persuadio.com?
You might find it at Persuadio.com.
I don't know why anybody would think maybe that that was the case.
I don't know. That's actually not what the service is called, though. But it may be that the site is sort of a placeholder, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so at PC Forum, I am going to be moving from being, you know, the writer commentator guy that I have been, or at least that most people think of me as being primarily, to being entrepreneur guy again.
So we're through that threshold of the non-disclosure agreement now. So we can talk about it now.
What non-disclosure?
It was a handshake.
It was an implied kind of thing.
Well,
here.
I don't want you to, you know, like spread it around, but you know, that's what half billion people are going to listen to us.
Yeah,
you know, maybe not a billion.
Half
a billion people.
Advertisers, come on!
The entire country of India is listening right now. They're going, what can I get from this Persuadio thing?
That's right. Well, we have a little minor announcement to make on the show that starting next week, we're not going to be on broadcast radio anymore.
Godforsaken medium that it is.
Yes, right. We're banning it. I'm following the direction that Wired Magazine told me to drop radio because radio's dead. So.
And you actually blogged about that concept with something.
Well, just about a week ago, Viacom came out and they wrote down $17 billion in the value of their company. More than $10 billion of it was their radio assets. You know, and Clear Channel is Viacom is a huge radio company. Amongst other things, they had the Howard Stern show, who, you know, he's moving to Sirius. And that's a real acknowledgement of the fact that radio assets just aren't worth very much anymore. You know, they're not going to grow. Even though radio advertising grew 2% this last year, they still are writing it down because they know it's not going to grow fast enough to continue to earn increased revenues. And then the very next day, Clear Channel came out, the other, you know, humongo media company in radio, and wrote down about $4.5 billion of their value on radio licenses. And radio licenses are what they pay for just to be able to broadcast into, say, Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying terrestrial, non-digital, plain old radio is dying. And that's a clear sign. So, you know, Rob, even if it was Wired that told you to do it, it's probably a good idea.
Even if it was Wired.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this because it seems like radio is going to exist. I mean, if you look at any other broadcast medium, when there's been a new one that started up, the other one still existed. Is it just going to evolve into something different than what we see today? Is it just going to be live stuff like, you know, live weather, live sports, news, that kind of stuff?
I think you're always going to have topical local programming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're always going to see that, but you're going to have this, you know, overarching national coverage now that you get from satellite radio. And what I think you'll see is that a lot of the radio station owners will start licensing their bandwidth for other uses at some point, like
mm-hmm.
data.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could become a part-time data service, or at least part of the spectrum they have may be dedicated to delivering local data services.
I mean, is it possible that a large radio station could become a kind of like a WiMAX distributor?
Well, you know, WiMAX is something that if you had a tall tower every 30 miles or so would be
just like a broadcast radio
business.
Thing. Yeah.
So, you know, possibly. You know, you've got spectrum allocation issues there, but the fact is, there's a thing, spectrum, and people are going to use it to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, radio is going to change. Some of it'll go away. Some of it'll turn into data, and some of it'll turn into, I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, people will start doing small FM radio stations. Those actually have been relicensed so that, you know, you can do one that just covers like the 10 blocks around your house.
Well, and it's not going to be a simple answer. I think a lot of people think that the radio is going to die, and it's just not going to happen. It's just going to evolve into something else is what's going to happen.
Problem is everybody thinks of vaudeville. You know, when they think, oh, you know, vaudeville died when the movies came along. But the movies didn't die when TV came along. So this is, you know, I mean, this may be vaudeville.
Or like the 8-track tape.
But I don't think it is.
You know, it's not going to die like the 8-track tape.
Oh, I've got piles of 8-track tapes still. I carry them around.
You actually have a player?
Bachman-Turner
player
Overdrive.
To play them in, though. Do you actually
Deep
have it?
Purple.
Do you actually have an 8-track player?
Sly and the
player?
Family Stone.
Can you actually play them, though?
Oh, no.
He stands around.
I just hold them up to my head and remember the good old days.
It has that vibe to it, right?
Oh, man, the resins that are on it is so toxic.
It's all those things you spilled on it over the years, right?
Blah, water, man.
Okay. We also wanted to talk about, on the show today, content control. It seems like we're all losing our control of our content.
I think we're gaining control of our content.
Are we?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
We're also going to look to see if web users really do hate centralization.
And we will discuss the coming crackdown on blogging. Will the Federal Election Commission start to regulate political speech online? All that. And much.
And more.
Much more.
Or very little more.
On Web Talk Radio.
What are you talking about now about the control of content? Is there new tools coming out or what are you
Well, I think a perfect example of this is what we're seeing with the blogs. People are contributing as much as they're, you know, from a reactionary standpoint. Maybe somebody puts something up online, whether it's a journalist or whatever, and then there's all these comments that come in. And then the wikis is also another one where you have this whole collaborative environment where people can go in and change content. Just
wikis.
Like,
what now that I just learned this Hawaiian word.
For yes. Quick.
For quick.
For quick?
Yes.
Oh,
quick. Yes, that's right. And it just seems like that the content control is moving out to the fringes, I guess,
but,
is what they're
talking,
what they're saying.
You're talking about centralized control in the sense that, you know, we're going to only have a limited choice of what we're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, and I think if you
choice.
Look at it from the perspective of the guy at the end of the wire or the signal, that we have far more control, especially when you start factoring in the way that you can subscribe to RSS feeds, podcasts, that you can get, if you're working in a wiki environment, feeds into that wiki environment from a variety of places. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we're doing to take control of the content we have. And so if you're, you know, Mr. Control Guy.
Well, but taking control.
You see that as a diminution of control. On
and
the other hand.
Is also losing control, too. I mean, I think.
Are
I mean,
are we
when you put out
control?
Things
How
out
can
there.
We lose control.
Well, when you come on the show and talk about stuff.
But you're control guy when you say that.
That's right, because I'm media guy.
Right, okay. Well,
I want to control the message and not have it manipulated.
Oh, man. You know, Marshall McLuhan's rolling over in his grave right now. The medium is the message, man.
I know, and it sparks discussion. Which,
I'm waving
which
my fingers around in front of his face when I do that.
Feeds back to...
Kind of like an LSD trip.
You know, like Technorati and Feedster. It feeds back to people that want to search, and then they talk about what we talk about.
Yeah, but that's not losing control. That's amplifying your message.
I know, but if they don't like what I said, they can cause a lot of grief for me.
I mean, if they can't take a joke, screw them.
I know.
Well, thank you for that. I thought this was getting a little dry, but thank you, Mitch.
But seriously, I mean, I had this whole thing with the slack-jawed yokels on my website, and you can go read about it wherever.
Uh-huh.
Well, it gets a little, you know, risque when I actually say it, but when I was attacked by a group of extreme
wild
neocon
tarantulas
types,
neocon,
I compared them to the people in the hills in the movie Deliverance and one particular act that they committed on Ned Beatty.
Oh, yes, I remember.
But, you know, I mean, they come out of the woodwork. You know, the thing is, and what I would do is I'd just wait for them to be abusive. Because they started it. They started calling me, you know, liberal whack job and a lot of other things you can't say on the radio, which, of course, you know, once we're off the radio, I'll be able to say all the time.
In your own blog, they did that?
They did that. They came into my blog. They said, and they called it. But what I would do is I'd just wait until they did it, and then I would swear at them. Much worse.
On their own blog, right?
No, on my blog.
I
did monitor what they were talking about on their little chat site because they were saying, oh, no Republicans would ever coordinate an attack on another site. And, you know, the thing is, they're not Republicans. They're American-hating neocons who want to get rid of everyone who don't agree with them.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard this term, neocon.
You haven't?
No.
Where have you been?
Well, now you have.
Okay, I'm dumb. Anyway, go ahead, please.
Paul Wolfowitz, man. So anyway.
So, I got to get my head out of Boston Legal.
I think there's a few others too, Mitch, other than Paul Wolfowitz.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
okay.
You know, there's
you
so
don't
many,
go
there's
there,
so many
though,
bizarre
right?
ways, and yeah, and you know, the hate mail we're going to get now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like during the Y2K thing when I was writing about, you know, the fact that we weren't going to have an apocalypse and, you know, our pacemakers weren't going to stop and grandma wasn't going to keel over at midnight on December. You know. So anyway, if they can't take a joke, and that's what you should do, you should turn it just back on them and let them have it because, you know, that's a backbone. Not, you know, not waiting for them and just doing that, but trying to engage them. But if they do, you know, dish it out, serve it back. That's, you know, that's fine.
Well, and where,
it's not so fun.
Where's the best place to
serve
it back? Is a comment on their blog or a blog post on your blog?
Either one. You know how you're going to have those conversations. I mean, you have a conversation differently than I do, obviously, because I'm such a, you know,
nobody
sound like a megalomaniac.
Do it like you. Nobody could do it like you.
Well, not very many people will call somebody a slack-jawed yokel.
That's, okay.
As I did.
Okay.
I'm waving my hand there for the...
To fill in the blank.
Five-syllable word that I used.
Oh.
But I constantly wrestle with... How do I contribute
to
the network? Do I post to the comments area of a blog post that I disagree with or I agree with? Or do I create it my own blog or do I write an article about it?
But how do I contribute to
this process?
You can be part of that discussion regardless of how you choose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if trackbacks are working, you know, and right now my blog's trackbacks are all messed up.
Yeah.
And I think trackbacks
are
half messed up in the first place.
Yeah, they're bad.
But... I mean, there are things that are monitoring what's going on, and I think you're going to see increasingly sophisticated use of stuff that connects us to our comments about other people and vice versa.
Yeah, because it seems like there's a lot of hidden content there that I know.
We haven't even scratched the surface.
Google has started to index comments. I mean, I've done searches, and I've found comments that I've made.
You know what would really be a good thing?
What's
a
that?
Social network mapping tool.
Hey, what an idea.
I think that'd be a really good idea.
Do you know of anybody that maybe has access to something
like that? I think somebody
ought
to probably come to PC Forum and see what I introduce.
Okay. I think so, too. You never know. Mitch may have the answer.
Well, I don't know if it's the answer, but at least it's part of understanding that relationship between yourself and other people. I mean, if you can see who's sort of ganged up against you, it's much easier to understand how to take them apart logically, reasonably, mm-hmm. and with humor. Because, you know, it's not baiting them, going back to what you said before, Dana. It's, you know, Oscar Wilde And I know he was gay, you neocon psychopaths, you're going to say. Okay. But, you know, the thing is, he would just tear people apart, but he would do it with wit. And people loved being around him at parties because he was always going to do something that was memorable.
It's very Alan Shore of him.
Yeah. Okay. It's very Alan Shore of him. Who's Alan Shore?
James Spader character on Boston Legal.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I mean, I should have known. I think we ought to just abbreviate and just say it's very Spader.
Okay.
Very Spader. Well, now, I blog posted on this next topic here about web users hate centralization. And I didn't agree. There was a post made by Rex Hammock.
Hammock. You know, like the thing you lie in.
Yes. And that's at rexblog.com. This is a person.
That's not a knock, Dana.
Not something that you lay on. This is a person.
Mate. I was thinking it's banana hammock.
You know, something you enjoy on a sunny afternoon with a beer.
And then the lying, you know.
Yeah, and the lying. And Rex. And when I was a kid, we used a hammock as a boat, and me and my brother would sail across vast seas.
A lot of holes in that thing.
Yeah. No, it was one of those green, solid hammocks.
You know, okay.
At my grandpa's house in Illinois.
Well, you can see the picture.
Rex said that podcasting does not want to have a central place, and the web hates central places.
And then he uses the eBay comparison, saying he actually is both a buyer and seller, which means that he comes into the orbit of eBay under two different circumstances and yet doesn't like centralization.
Exactly. I mean, if you look at all of the most important areas online, Amazon's another example of centralization.
Complaining about centralization is a little like complaining about Microsoft, in my opinion, because I think what we all look for is stuff that organizes and presents all of the vast numbers of choices and information that we have.
In a simple and easy to find way.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it used to be called editing. But, and I'm not knocking
that's
the fact
that.
That's
an old skill, isn't it?
It is. You know, I mean,
it's
I think Hammurabi was, you know, when he first brought the laws and canonized them. You know?
Well, blogs certainly aren't edited. That's
of course,
sure.
This week they were talking about the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court. So we should just say, you know, when God first wrote the commandments with his finger in the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't want to do that.
No.
I mean, not that the Ten Commandments are a bad thing.
No, they're not.
They are a part of the foundation of our society.
Yes, they are. Yes,
so, but, you know, the thing is we've been editing stuff.
It's just all about where the Ten Commandments reside, I think, is what, you know.
That's Hammurabi's code, which is where I kind of, you know, went off on this. I mean, they wrote the laws down.
I mean,
and these are the things we agree we're going to live together, you know, under the following rules. And if we don't, you know, okay, fine.
And not everybody follows the Ten Commandments. So
not everybody does.
Yeah.
Although I think almost everybody does, even if they don't believe in them.
In that particular thing, because it's in other religions, too. Yeah.
And, okay. You know, I mean, I think most of us generally agree it's a good thing not to kill anyone.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Or to commit adultery.
But how come we don't worship on the Sabbath?
I don't know which day is actually the Sabbath.
The seventh day, it says it actually in the, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I get a calendar and some days Sunday's the seventh
Sunday,
day and some days
no,
Saturday.
No, most calendars aren't. I mean, yes, the Pope is trying to change it.
Man, that guy.
This is a slippery,
he really pisses me off.
This is a slippery slope here, guys.
Well, you know. Okay. I have
I hope
soapbox.
He gets better. I hope he gets better.
Okay.
So anyway, I think people love centralization. It gives them a warm, fuzzy feeling in their stomach. So,
well, but I don't think it's centralization that they dislike. I think what they dislike is
ease of use,
command and control.
Okay, that's true.
And I have no problem with not wanting command and control in the economy.
And I think that's the bigger message, and that's really one of the big struggles that's going on between podcasting and big media right now. Is that big media wants to control. And Microsoft is included in this,
yeah.
And all of the other major corporations out there like to control the message. They like to control how it's delivered and what's delivered, and what the internet's doing is breaking down all those barriers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, look, so, the big media companies are shrieking, "Trust us! Please trust us!"
So in some ways, Rex is right.
Yeah, in some ways, Rex is right, and in other ways, but by generalizing command and control as centralization is, I think, missing the point. The reason eBay succeeds is it's an organized marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
one that shills a little bit to make extra money, you know, but hey.
Yeah.
Even Google's a little evil.
Just a little.
Significantly so.
Well, actually,
you know how I feel about this, but anyway.
I've heard recently that some of the most evil people that used to work at Microsoft have now gone to Google.
Now, are these the people who are marked with the mark of Bill?
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's I heard that from legitimate sources.
You know,
online.
He's a knight now.
Yes, he is.
He was knighted yesterday, I believe.
Yes, he was by the Queen of England.
Sir Bill Gates. So now when you see him, I suppose, you know, you have to call him Sir Bill.
And just beware of him pulling out his sword, right? Because he's like a knight.
He is, yeah. I think he has I think he got a sword.
Did he?
Mick Jagger had a big duel.
I mean, if I got knighted, I would expect a sword.
And all of a sudden, you know, Paul McCartney jumped in and said, "No, man, I'm a knight."
Keep your saber to yourself there, Mitch.
Okay.
Now, there's this guy named Brad. He's one of the commissioners of the Federal Election Convention. He actually had the gall to say
commission.
That... Commission, thank you. Convention, commission. To that political blogging pretty much is over as far as the freewheelingness of it.
That's right. And there's a price to pay, right? There's a price to pay to blog politically. There could be a price
to pay. No, I don't think they're saying there's a price to pay. What they're saying is that... What he is saying is that that blogging is a form of political speech that it, you know, carries currency. And if Dana were running for city council or president or, you know, emperor of the world,
right.
And I said, you know, I think Dana is the smartest, most down-to-earth, reasonable person for the job of emperor of the world that I could possibly want, that is worth something. Just like if I sent Dana a check to the Dana for the emperor of the world campaign for $25.
And it's true because the words are valuable because that's what we pay. We hand over money so people will put words on the air or whatever.
Right. And so that's what they're saying is that, you know, and I think they are right to anticipate in the next election that you know, like the Koch family who's behind a lot of the conservative think tanks might say, well, let's take $50 million and put it out and give it to a bunch of bloggers so they write about conservative issues. We give them the time to do it. Now, that is... Even if it is completely distributed, an organized political donation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we should be looking at. But at the same time, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I don't either. Especially if you value or you put a dollar amount on the value of a hyperlink. I mean, that's kind of the if you really dumb it down to the bottom line, that's kind of what they're saying is that what is the value of a link off of a weblog?
Well, look, you know, I mean, we all know that the Daily Kos weblog was the guy who writes it, Marcus, was a consultant to the Dean campaign, a paid consultant, ostensibly to write about or to give them advice about technology. And on the same, you know, at the same time, Zephyr Teachet, who was the person leading the Dean campaign's internet strategy, said, well, we hired him so he'd write about us more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, you've got to see that, you know, carries a certain value and that the spending of the money by the campaign is one thing, but that campaigns aren't going to be the ones who are spending the money to get bloggers to do this because that's already covered. The money has been donated to the campaign. It's under control,
it's
and they have to report it back.
Groups is the one
it's political action groups. Yeah. It's everybody who's out there besides that. Now, that's not to say that we need to regulate it in any major way, but I think what we need to do is establish a transparency that allows you to say, oh, I know where this is coming from. And, you know, because I don't think anybody in America would be real happy if they knew that a particular party or subgroup of any party had spent, you know, $500 million to make sure that almost nothing but their issues were the top Google hits and Technorati hits for the 2008 election. Mm-hmm. No one would.
No, that's right. And also, you know, if you start lumping together blogs and saying that all online media is going to be a part of this crackdown, does that include people like CNET? Does that include people like Salon, Slate, NewYorkTimes.com? You know, you start really looking at this and all those journalist sites that are out there or newspapers are publishing content online, doing blogs, doing the same kind of thing. Can they really crack down on this?
It may be a crypto attack on the press. That's what they're really talking about. And that's, you know, I mean, if you want, I mean, for years now, there's been an organized attack to discredit the press. Not that they don't help that attack constantly.
Well, I think they've helped themselves with that recently.
But they did it again this week. Did you guys see the thing with the NBC Evening News?
No.
Where they said, they said, well, we've just got this in from Baghdad. The trial judge for Saddam Hussein's trial has been murdered.
Assassinated. Okay, I heard about that.
And so what he did, or what they did was they said, he's a brave man, and they put him up, and they, you know, for the first time you didn't see the back of the judge's head, you saw the side of his head and his face, which had been secret. But unfortunately, it wasn't that judge who was killed. It was somebody else associated with the trial. So now NBC had broadcast this person's face and, you know, under the pretense that they had confirmed, you know, information about this. So not only did they report something that was inaccurate, they then put the guy's life in danger. And so, yeah, media is doing everything it possibly can to help itself into the grave.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, a lot of what we're talking about could be used to crack down on a free press just as much, you know, because if they said, well, you know, now if the New York Times writes about the Democratic candidate, that's like a campaign contribution by the New York Times company.
Well, that's what they said about the whole Rathergate thing too, was that whole thing was a plant set up the Democrats.
Yeah. And I object if that's the case that it was. And I object to the Sinclair Broadcasting company's plan to put the anti-Kerry movie on,
mm-hmm.
because that was an even more explicit use of market power. They mm-hmm. said, well, it's going to be on whether you like it or not.
So are people that devious that they could actually, you know, do that knowing that that would be the result?
Don't you guys have to assume?
Or is it by accident?
Don't you have to assume that we live in a world where people are willing to cheat and steal in order to get ahead?
I believe that, yes.
Okay. I mean, I don't necessarily assume that about people, and I give them the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, if they make a lot of mistakes.
It happens.
If they make a lot of mistakes and are just saying, you know, well, it's just mistakes, but it always seems to benefit from them, I don't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some people have to be pretty crafty to think of these things. You have to.
There's some pretty crafty people out there. Come on.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, seriously, there are people who think about how to take control and to monopolize power every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become.
Are you thinking of somebody specific here?
Well, sure. I mean, Richard Viguerie. Read his new book. He's the guy who used direct mail to change the conservative political landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very open and upfront about the fact that, you know, I mean, we knew direct mail was a cheap way to raise money and change people's minds. So we used it. We used it far better than anybody else. That's just simple. It's A, good business, because he certainly made plenty of money doing it, and B, it's solid politics. I mean, he recognized there was an unused channel, one his opponents had not used effectively. The only time they really used it effectively was McGovern, who got the nomination in 72 by using direct mail, and then the Democrats just ignored it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there are plenty of people, and it's not that they're devious or evil. It's just that their job is an agenda.
Their job
is to win.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and is this legislation going to actually go through? I think that they're kind of like sitting on the fence right now. There's a lot of commissioners, I guess, that are willing to vote for it, but there may not be enough to pass this. But I think eventually it's going to happen. I mean,
I don't think so, because the Federal Election Commission, by its charter, is always split evenly.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a tiebreaker, but it may be controlled by the Republicans right now. But I don't think that they're going to push it through without the other side saying, "Well, how are you going to apply this very specifically?" And I don't think when you start making those kinds of detailed explanations, we're going to do this and that.
It kind of then falls apart.
It's going to fall apart.
Yeah,
it becomes so complex. It's like, oh, well, you know what we really need is another U.S. tax code.
But is it another legislation that goes through that is on the books, but there's no enforcement behind it? So it was almost like, you know, they're trying to make a political statement more than they are an enforcement or follow. I mean, there's no follow through on it, I guess.
Well, but our government is one large unfunded mandate today. So, yeah. Absolutely. It could happen. But
mm-hmm.
would it change anything then? I don't know. I think it would only become a political weapon.
Yeah, exactly. And that could be exactly what is wanted here.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you sum it all down to the bottom line.
So we agree they're devious and sometimes evil.
I think they exist, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not a good thing, Mitch, that we end on an agreement note here. What's going on?
It's just that you're such a, you know, such a compelling and beautiful man.
So is there anything else that you'd like to add about what was going on online this week, Mitch, that you saw in your blog? I know you posted a few things.
You know, I have been so head down trying to get the Persuadio stuff going and finished, and another project I'm working on with Audible.
Oh, that's right.
So I am very, 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 very busy, and I read and I post, and that's about as much thought as I can give to a lot of stuff right now.
I'm flattered that you could come in and spend some time talking.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, listening America and listening world.
Yes. We appreciate you joining us, Mitch. Again, I hope you come back again.
I will. I hope I haven't offended anybody too much this time.
No, I think you
just
were.
Just those rednecks. The deliverance people.
I mean, squeal like a pig, boy.
They know when they get our show on a download that it's going to be Mitch included, so they're going
to
know it's
coming.
I'm
sure they flock to them.
That's right.
Squeal like a pig, boy. Squee! Squee! Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. So what are all the other places that people can read all of your rantings?
Oh, ratcliffeblog.com and the new ratcliffeblog.com/browse, which is where I just sort of post very quick hits on stuff I'm reading. And actually, it's getting better traffic than the Ratcliffe blog.
Really?
Yes. Very
people like
interesting.
Then redherring.com.
Yeah.
And others to be announced soon.
Okay. Terrific. Well, remember the Web Talk Radio has a blog, too. I post in there on an almost daily basis on different topics about digital media. That's pretty much what I focus in on. I occasionally branch out into other things.
And I have two blogs.
And Dana has – well, Dana actually does a lot.
And so you can come and see how I deal with people that comment in a very bad way toward me.
Do you delete their comments?
I run away. I ignore them and run away.
Well, and if you want to go see some of Dana's blogs, you can go to Web Talk Radio's blog. And there's links to in the blog role to Dana's blogs right there. So that's the easiest way to get to them.
And, you know, what's especially important is that Dana is so spader. So very spader.
So very, very spader.
You know, I'm kind of anti-spader, actually.
Are you really now?
And Valley. She's more Valley now. She's a Valley girl.
You've turned.
Well, be sure and tune into Web Talk Radio on, what, Wednesdays? And we'll have a new show.
Yep.
Put up. Tuesdays and Saturdays.
I'm actually shooting for Tuesdays.
Okay.
But you never know.
Tuesdays are such a delightful day.
Bleed over into Wednesday. You never know.
Well, we'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.